This is Digital Story Podcast number 835, March 22nd, 2022. Today's theme is 6 camera bags and no more. I'm Derek Story. The process of thinning out one's gear is not always an easy one, especially when it comes to camera bags. But I am determined to whittle down my collection to 6 essential carrying solutions. Today, I will share the list of my leading contenders and why I'm hanging on to them. I hope you enjoy the show. So, as I've mentioned on the show a few times, I'm in the process of reorganizing one of the rooms upstairs here at the studio. Now, this has been a slow, arduous process that is tapping new depths of my patience, mainly because I haven't worked on it for years and years and years. And the second reason is because I'm being very thorough. I'm making sure I don't discard anything that I may regret later. I'm going through everything, going through every box, every bag, everything, and really trying to do this right, hopefully, so I never have to do it again. And as you may know, I have a few camera bags. Now, it's not really my fault that I have so many camera bags because I worked for LowPro for a number of years, and then I've worked with Think Tank too. And part of my job with each of them was to test new bags and write about them, take pictures of them, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Bags just accumulate. And it was really funny because the other room that I'm working on, right, cleaning out right now, that used to be the podcast room. And it was neat in the sense that this room was just lined with camera bags. So it was acoustically very dead, which is exactly what you want. You want very dead acoustics in a recording room. So in that sense, the camera bags served a great purpose. However, now I need to repurpose that room and use it for some other things. My life is changing. My studio is changing. My business is changing. And that room needs to be recalibrated. So I'm working on that right now. As I'm thinking about this project and going, okay, how am I going to thin out those bags, right? How am I going to, you know, what are the criteria I'm going to use for those that I keep and those that I move along to other photographers or the Goodwill or wherever they happen to go? I used some basic logic, like I am with some of the other items in that room. And the first one is, many of you are familiar with this approach, which is if I haven't used it for a number of years, then it automatically needs to go, right? Because if I haven't needed it for the last 5 years, then I'm probably not going to need it in the next 5 years. It isn't one of the bags that I cherish that I use that is fitting for what I'm doing right now. So that's the first cut. That's a pretty easy cut, but that still left me with a lot of bags. And sometimes I had multiple bags that served the same function, so I had to decide among those bags which one I would keep and letting the others go. So then the next thing was I thought, okay, I'll look at the different types of photography that I do. And I'll make sure that I have a go-to bag for each of those types. And I was pretty proud of myself for coming up with this particular approach. And the types that I narrowed things down to are event photography, which is a lot of my work these days. In fact, I have the International Film Festival coming up this week. That's a perfect example of that type of photography. So there's one type. Business travel, which there hasn't been as much of, but I think will start to come back on the radar a little bit over the next few years. And that's where I have a roller bag, and then I have a bag that slides over the handle of the roller bag, and then that bag can be used in business meetings, it can be used for photo assignments, and it needs to look good, right? It needs to look good because of the types of settings I'll be in. So there's business travel, family vacation, and this is where I'm going lighter on gear, right? Because I'm supposed to be vacationing, not working. You know, I want a camera bag that holds the fun stuff and to some degree limits how much I can bring and the types of things I can bring. So I'm not tempted to do too much work. So family vacation is another one. Street photography, that is its own thing. That's its own bag. And of course, street photography could also be the bag that you use for traveling light. You know, you just say, hey, I'm just going to go hang out with, you know, some friends. I just want to bring a camera, maybe the X100V or something, my iPad mini, and, you know, not have a whole lot of other stuff. So that's like the smaller bag, the bag that is more discreet, that kind of thing. Then workshops, of course, and yay, workshops are coming back. We've got the Humboldt Redwoods workshop coming up at the beginning of April. I'm super excited about that, and that will be a bag. And then just day hikes, adventure. You know, I do have adventure trips, things like that. I need a bag for that. So those are the main types of bags that I'm looking for. Now, I do have an everyday bag that I carry around. It's just a backpack that, you know, it's just this. It's a dog stew of stuff in there. You know, I have a laptop. I do have my iPad. I have the camera of the week in there. I usually have the X100V, SSD hard drives, cables, you know, all that kind of stuff, paperwork from whatever I'm working on, that sort of thing. So I'm not counting that one. That's that backpack, that Vanguard backpack. I love it. But, you know, that's just a thing that I schlep around everywhere. So these are more camera bags for photo assignments and more photo specific bags that I'm talking about. All right. So what did I do? How did I do this? How did I get this whole room of bags down to six? Okay, here we go. For event photography, I'm using the ThinkTank Spectral 10. This is so funny. This is a mid-size shoulder bag. When I first got my hands on it, I was asked to review it. I never dreamed that it would end up being one of my favorite bags, but it just sort of worked. You know, it doesn't have Velcro. And in fact, that's kind of a theme for a lot of my bags. There's no Velcro on the outside. I don't mind it on the inside for the dividers. That's okay. But on the outside, event photography, last thing you want is a Velcro noise. You know, why someone very important is speaking and you're trying to change lenses or something like that. So it's no Velcro. It uses this really clever buckle on the outside. And then if I need to really secure the inside, it has a zipper flap as well. And it just works. It's one of those things. It's just the right size. I can fit two camera bodies in there. The lenses that I need, a couple flashes. And it holds all of that, but there's no wasted space. It's not too big. It's not too heavy. It looks decent. It's a nice looking bag. It looks somewhat professional. And it just keeps surviving. It just keeps making the cut. So, and it's going to make the cut again. And in fact, it's the bag that I'm going to use for the film festival that I start shooting on Thursday. So the first one is a shoulder bag for event photography. And it's a ThinkTank shoulder bag. Now, the second one for business travel and for things that are a little bit more upscale, this is a bag, by the way, that I really like the way it looks. It might be the most handsome bag that I own. It is the Tenba Cooper 13 Slim. And this is a waxed canvas-like material bag, but it's super soft and super fine. You know, the stitching and everything else, super fine. And then it has, you know, leather accents. It's got nickel hardware. It's got a big front zipper that's very stylish, you know, like an old style big zipper with really big teeth and everything. It holds my laptop. This is very important. It has a laptop sleeve on the back of the bag, you know, that goes against your body that's zippered. And so when you're going through TSA or you're going through some sort of check-in, it's very easy. You just unzip the zipper, pull the laptop out, and you don't have to mess with the rest of the bag. And that's one of the reasons that I like it so much for this type of travel, because I just need to pop the laptop out. I don't need to mess with the other stuff. But yet it secures it very nicely. It goes in top down. So if I forget to zip the zipper, I don't have to worry about the laptop falling out, you know, if I pick up the bag. It also has a very nice rain cover that it's separate, but I just keep it stashed. It doesn't take up a lot of room, but it just snaps on really nice. It looks really good. And then it's just handsome. It's just so handsome. It's not too thick. It has a trolley sleeve on the back, which is super important, so I can just slide it over the handle of my suitcase. And it's in proportion with the suitcase. It looks terrific. So I can take this bag into a business meeting. It looks fantastic. You know, it's not real thick like a camera bag. It is a slim bag, but yet my Olympus gear fits in there nicely. My Fujifilm X100V, all the stuff that I need fit in there very well. So I really like this bag. It's a Tenba Cooper 13 Slim. It's a terrific, terrific bag. By the way, the insert it has is removable and it's not too thick, so you're not wasting a lot of space. All right, for family vacation, this is a completely different kind of bag. And now I'm thinking like my week in Maui, things like that. And this is where I go with the Lowepro Photo Hatchback 18L All Weather. And this is a truly fun bag. First of all, it's this beautiful color of blue. So right away, you feel like you're on vacation, right? Feel like you're on vacation. The hatchback, it has a partial compartment that opens from the back. It sets against your back, so people can't get into it, can't get your camera gear. It only holds half as much camera gear as my other backpack, but that's the idea. This is just for vacation and having fun. And that's a removable compartment that goes in the back. So if I want, I can pull that out, put that in the hotel safe with my camera gear in it. And then the flap that's in the middle of the bag that divides it into two compartments, one for the camera gear and one for your personal items, that flap is Velcroed so that you can un-Velcro it and then open it up so you have the entire contents of the backpack for, you know, rain jacket and lunch and things like that, if that's more what you need. Two nice big stretch mesh pockets on the outside, so I can carry two canteens, one for me and maybe one for another person, or if it's a really hot weather, then I can carry two canteens for me. I just love that. And the mesh is super so that if the canteens are sweating, if the water bottles are sweating, then it just evaporates away, you know, because of the mesh. Really cool. And then it also holds easily both my iPad mini in a front pocket and also my 11-inch MacBook Air, that's my vacation laptop. I can do some stuff on it. Obviously, I can write and I can check web pages and stuff, but it's not a serious laptop like my 13-inch Pro. And so, you know, it's just the right thing so that I'm not too tempted to do too much work. So both of those fit in there. It doesn't take up much room, this backpack. It slides right underneath the seat of an airplane. And you can just throw it over your shoulder. And it has plenty of storage. It has the right amount of storage. And it's fun. It's fun. And it does have an all-weather design. So if I am somewhere in Hawaii or something where it starts raining, then you just pull the bag out from the bottom, the cover out from the bottom, cover the bag, and you're in great shape. This is a bag that I just enjoy having. I love the design of it. And as I said, I just look at it and I feel like going on vacation. It's one of those bags. Street photography bag, that was interesting. I had a lot of competition for that. And I ended up going with the ThinkTank Mirrorless Mover 25i, which is a little shoulder bag. But what I like about it, it's shaped like a loaf of bread. It's, you know, those dimensions. And so it's not real deep, which bugged me on, you know, the smaller bags, because stuff gets down in there and you can't find it. It's not real deep, but it's more wide, like a loaf of bread. So my mirrorless cameras just pop in there. It's wider, so you can see everything that's going on, and you don't have anything underneath them at all. So you just, like, it's all right there. There's an inner sleeve for my iPad mini, and it fits in there just perfectly. So I love that. Again, no Velcro on the outside. So if you need extra security, the top flap will zip. And then if you don't need extra security, if you need quick access, it has a magnetic buckle. So when you flap the flap closed, that magnetic buckle just, you know, connects with the magnet that's in the bag. And so you have really fast access. It has little baby pockets on the side. Really nice hardware, that nice nickel-plated hardware that I like so much. It's not too big, not too small. I can carry everything that I need either for street photography or, again, if I just want to travel light inside a conference or, you know, inside an expo hall or something, works great. I just slide it around in front of me. It's very easy to keep track of, so I don't have to worry about someone, you know, ripping it away from me because I'm holding it even though it is attached to my body. And it has a nice belt sleeve in the back, so if you really want to be super secure, you can run your belt through it and have it over your shoulder. And I guess if they take your bag, they got to take you with it, right? So that's the one that went out. And it went out over other ones, such as the ThinkTank Urban Approach 5, which is a pretty cool bag, but it has Velcro on the outside. So again, it's making big noise. And the shape is different on the Urban Approach. It's not as wide, not like a loaf of bread, and it's deeper. So then again, you know, you get stuff down in there and I feel like you're wasting space. So I really like the shape of the mirrorless mover. I think it's a really good design. For workshops, I'm using the classic Tamrac shoulder bag. And this bag goes back to the film days. How do I know that? Because it has a detachable pouch under the top lid that says film pouch. And it's really neat. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it before. It's really well made, the clear pouch. It's really robust, and it snaps into the lid, and it holds a lot, but yet you can take it out. So you can take it out, and if you have valuable stuff in there, you can put that in the safe and then just, you know, go with the bag and have extra space. It just has this classic design that I like, more of a canvasy, textured canvas feel to it. A nice leather grip handle. It holds a lot, but it's not too big. So for example, I can get my medium format Fujifilm 100S in there with an accessory lens, or I can load it up with, you know, my mirrorless stuff. And it's really easy to use. And it's just one of those bags. It's a shoulder bag that just, it feels like you can always just get what you need really quickly. And I do kind of like having a classic design in my lineup. This one has held up over years. Like I said, it was back in the film days, and it looks terrific today. I mean, it just looks terrific, and I use it a lot. So that is my workshop bag. Now, I will also use the next bag for workshops, which is my hiking bag, my adventure bag. And this is my most serious bag in the lineup here, and that's the Lowepro ProTactic 350 AW. This is the bag that I took to Cuba. This is the bag that I used up in Oregon when we had all that inclement weather. This is a bag that I feel like I can take things anywhere in it, and they'll be okay. Not only is it weather-resistant itself, it's also a very sturdy bag. So if you drop it, if it rolls down a hill, things like that, your gear's going to be okay. It has an all-weather cover built into it that you can pull out. The laptop sleeve is inside the back of the bag, and it's very secure. So you can open up the bag from the back, get to your camera gear, have your laptop. But when you zip it up, everything is on the inside. You don't have anything accessible, you know, hanging off the outside, unless you put on accessories, because it has these tactical loops all through it, and it comes with a water bottle pouch and little other zippered pouches and stuff, so you can load it up on the outside. It also comes with straps that work with these loops, so you can strap a tripod on there, you can strap hiking sticks on there, things like that. I mean, it feels like you can go anywhere with this bag. It is so cool. And the interior is really configurable. It has access on both sides, and it has access on the top. And then, of course, the whole back zipper's open. So you can get to it really from four different sides. Grab handles on both ends of it. So no matter how you throw it in the back of a SUV or something, you can just grab it and pull it out. And it's really comfortable. It's made to be hiking in. So I either use the Lopro Protactic or the classic Tamrac bag for my workshop outdoor adventure work. Or sometimes, if it's a big gig, I'll bring them both and then just bring whichever one is most appropriate. So there you have it. 2 backpacks, 4 shoulder bags. It's really going to be difficult for me to let the other ones go. Right now, what I've done is I've separated my picks from the other because I'm still working on that room. I'm going to be working on that room for another month or two. I'm going to see how it goes over the next month with the bags that I've selected. If it goes okay, if they feel like they're the right bags and it feels like I made the right choice, then that will be my choice. And the other bags, you know, will be, you know, sent off to the farm so other people can use them. It's going to be difficult for me to let those others go. I've had them for so long, but I have a feeling I'm going to be just fine. Max Studio Teardown gives us a close look at the M1 Ultra and reveals SSD storage is upgradable. This is an article on DP Review, and I have a link to it in the show notes. Let me read you what they have to say. I'm kind of excited about this. The new Mac Studio is a great computer. In our review, we called Apple's new M1-powered desktop the Apple desktop we've been waiting for. The new desktop computer looks like a Mac Mini on steroids, and it can be configured to extreme pro-oriented specifications. The new desktop can be built to include an Apple M1 Ultra with a 20-core CPU, 64-core GPU, and 32-core Neural Engine, plus 128 gigabytes of RAM and 8 terabytes of SSD storage. That option will set you back $7,999. The base model starts at $1,999. Gone are the days of being able to order a base model of an Apple computer and upgrading it later as you see fit. The Mac Pro, which still comes with Intel processors, is unique in Apple's lineup for this user-replaceable components. Or is it? A new Mac Studio teardown video by Max Tech shows that the Mac Studio is, in fact, upgradable by the end user. Sort of. The computer is not designed to be opened. I love that. Max Tech decided to disassemble the Mac Studio by pulling up on the rubber ring on the machine's bottom. With the rubber removed, you can see 4 screws. With the bottom of the case removed, there are more screws to remove. Lo and behold, visible and without taking the computer itself apart, is a port to put additional SSD storage. If you don't max out the storage when you buy the Mac Studio, there will be an empty storage slot available. Ooh, now that is what I call a fun Easter egg. One last paragraph here. On the Apple Store, Apple recommends users to configure the Mac Studio with enough storage because it's not, quote, user accessible. However, as we can see, storage is user accessible. Granted, it's not super straightforward, but it isn't that complicated either. RAM, of course, is not user upgradable because Apple Silicon is a system on a chip. The RAM is built right into the M1 series chip that you purchase. So this is the bottom line on this Mac Studio. By the way, it's a computer I'm interested in as well. With the new display, which is also getting very good ratings. You can't upgrade the RAM. So whatever you buy, make sure you focus on, you know, getting the RAM that you think you're going to need. Same with the GPU. However, the SSD, the computer's hard drive, even though it's electronic, does appear to be upgradable. Does not seem that hard. Does not seem that hard. So I think that's pretty cool. And the reason why I'm talking about it now is that if you are thinking about buying one of these and you go, oh, I don't want to go over my budget, but, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, this amount of dollars on the hard drive. Put your money in the RAM, put your money in the processor, get as much hard drive as you can afford, and then know that you will be able to upgrade it later on. That might help. So we're getting ready for the Humboldt Redwoods. It's only a couple weeks away. Super excited. We have everyone on the online site. We're already, sharing information. I got the schedule posted for them. The schedule looks great. So all of that is in progress. However, we still have the infrared photography workshop coming up in May. That's online. We have the black and white photography workshop coming up in August. That's online. We still have a couple seats open for each of those. And then the Eastern Sierra Photography Workshop in September. That's a physical workshop, as is the Oregon Coast Photography Workshop in November. You can check out all of these events by clicking on the link in the show notes, or by going to thenimblephotographer.com, or by clicking on workshops on thedigitalstory.com. I think once I get to experience our first physical workshop in a while, which is the Humboldt Redwoods, I'm just going to be like raring to go for the Eastern Sierra and going back to Oregon as well. If you're thinking about getting out this year or expanding your online chops, that you'll join us for either the couple online events we have or the remaining two physical workshops. Either way, it's going to be a good time. I want to give you an update on my OM1 camera. I don't have it. So this has been interesting, but not unusual for the times. So there are a couple ways I could have gone when I ordered my camera. And this is a case where I just order it like everyone else. I can get loaners from Olympus or from B&H, but when it comes time to buy, I'm a regular consumer. I had a couple choices. I could buy just the camera body itself without the new lens. And I opted for the new lens because I don't even have the first 12-40. I'm still using the Panasonic 12-35 f2.8, which is a good lens, but I really want that Olympus 12-40, the new one, with the extra weather sealing. I ordered the kit, which was the OM1 body with the 12-40 Pro 2. Now, that was supposed to ship, I think, 2 weeks later, after the bodies were only shipping. And I pre-ordered really early, like right away. It was like as soon as it was available to order, I ordered it. I didn't mess around. And I ordered it from B&H. They said that they were going to ship back on the 15th, I believe, for that camera with the lens. Nope. And then they did the thing that you dread, which is they changed it from where they said, we'll start shipping on May 15th. That little thing, they removed that and they put, like a back order thing on it. We'll let you know when it gets here. So the scuttlebutt is talking to some folks that OM Systems did not anticipate the sort of demand for the camera, which surprised me a little bit, or maybe they just didn't have the capacity right away. But the first shipment, they burned through it, and now we're waiting for the next shipment. Hopefully, I'll be in on that next shipment, and hopefully, I'm hoping that I have that camera for the Humboldt Redwoods workshop, because I really want that camera for the workshop. Actually, I really wanted that camera for the film festival this week, and I'm not going to have it, so that's all right. I've got other cameras. I'll be okay, but I really wanted it for this gig that I have starting on Thursday. That's not going to happen. Hopefully, I'll have it in time for the workshop. I'll keep you updated. And those of you that are in the same situation as me, if you get your camera with the lens, I'm talking about the kit, if you'll post on our Facebook site or just send me an email, either way, you can use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. Let me know when you get your camera and lens. I'd really appreciate it as I try to keep track of what's going on with this. Cross your fingers, everyone. We don't want this to drag on for weeks and weeks or longer. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I put a post on our Patreon site the other day for our Inner Circle members, letting them know that, what they're doing has really helped. And I had just done a search. I do this. I keep track of where our podcast stands in the world. And I had just done a search on Apple Podcasts for photo. So you go to podcasts and then you search on photo. And we were in the top five, I think, that particular week. It fluctuates every week. You know, we're usually up there in the top 10, top 15, but we had moved way up last week. And I just wanted to acknowledge to our Inner Circle members that, you know, the things that they do, the little things that they do, have really helped this community stay thriving. And, you know, because if we're ranking high, if our podcast is ranking high, that means new people are finding us, we're bringing new people in, there's a sense of energy, all that good stuff. I mean, it's all good that happens when you have good rankings that get your show in front of other folks. And so I mentioned, you know, the fact that people download the podcast or listen to the podcast every week, huge help. Folks that post reader reviews or listener reviews on whatever application they use to listen to their podcast, that helps. Supporting the podcast through the Inner Circle so that we can keep the maintenance. We can do things like upgrading from HTTP to HTTPS, stuff like that. That super helps. Word of mouth, sharing with other people that you know about this podcast, telling you it's a pretty good show, you ought to give it a listen. That helps. All these things that our Inner Circle members are doing and that you're doing as well. So I just want to mention that many hands make light work in this kind of business here. So I just wanted to thank you for your participation, for listening, for participating, for sharing, for recommending, for all the things that you do to help keep this show going. Our Inner Circle members, they're at the forefront of this. They're the spearhead for sure, but I know that you are also doing a lot. And I just wanted to thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge that I love all these years later that we're still as vibrant and healthy as ever. It's cool. It's really cool. And thanks to you. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the folks that help me stay enthused about printing, that provide me with all the supplies that I need. Anything that I need, I know I can go to their site by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story, and I can find the paper that I want. And as I mentioned last week, you know, as part of this room cleaning project, I found boxes of Red River Paper that I didn't know I had, and some surfaces that I didn't know I had. And I tell you, it has been so much fun playing with these things. I published some song lyrics the other day. I wanted to just print them out and make them look nice. And so I designed them in Pages on my Mac, the lyrics with some artwork and everything. And then I printed them out on Red River. I believe it was a Polar Arctic matte paper. It was a really nice, crisp white. It was about 66 pounds, something like that. It had nice heft to it. Instead of just doing it on regular plain paper, by putting those lyrics and that design on that paper, wasn't a photograph at all. There's no photos there. By putting that on there, it just made them special instantly. It was beautiful. And I'm holding those lyrics in my hand, and they feel good. And I'm looking at them, and this crisp, and you know, there's great ink lay down on that, the whole deal. So this paper, having this paper around and these different surfaces around, yes, they're great for printing your photos and stuff, but they're great for all sorts of printing. And sometimes if you want to elevate your game and just not print on regular plain paper, you know, the thin stuff that you get, 500 sheets for however much, if you want to do something special, your Red River Paper Supply can help you with that as well. They have a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, and I truly appreciate their support. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Wish me luck on sticking with my 6 camera bags, working on some more great stuff for next week. Until then, stay safe, stay creative. See you next Tuesday.